You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey there, pet parents. This is Christy Vaughn, host of The Doggy Dish, and today's spooky episode is all about planning the perfect Halloween party. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Nature at its best is nature at its simplest. At Red Barn, we've kept it simple for 20 years by concentrating on single-ingredient natural dog treats. Because Mother Nature's actually pretty good at this. Bones are just tasty bones. Meat treats are just nourishing meat. It's nature at its simplest. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Natural Treats. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our slow-roasted, natural, meaty bones.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Doggy Dish on Pet Life Radio. Today's episode is especially awesome because I have a very special guest helping me host the show. I'd like to welcome lifestyle blogger and dedicated dog mom, Rachel Baird. Welcome, Rachel. So excited to have you.
Thanks, Chrissy. It's so great to be here.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. I am so excited about this. And just to all of our listeners, to give you a little background, I actually met Rachel through Instagram. So you can actually make friends through Instagram and meet them in real life. I didn't know that. So how crazy is that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I've actually had some Instagram friends come and stay at our house before, and people always think that's strange. And we've actually gone and met other doggy parents down in different cities that we're in when we travel. So it's been actually really, really great for us.
I think that's awesome. And you know what? You have to be careful, of course, but I think in this day and age, you know, we're a virtual society and it's totally fine if you meet people online. And I mean, heck, people get married who meet online. So why can't you have friends, right? Especially fellow crazy dog moms. So she actually plans local French Bulldog meetups, guys. So this is where I met her, and her meetups are so awesome. It's such a fun way to meet fellow dog parents. So just a little inspiration out there. If you don't have a meetup in your city and you want one, go ahead and start planning it and take to social media, and you'll start making friends and people will show up and you can make it a regular thing. It's a lot of fun. Awesome. So Rachel, let us talk about your blog for just a minute. I want to hear a little bit about yourself and Life Devoured, which is your blog. Tell us a little bit about how you started it, what gave you the idea, and what topics you blog about.
No problem. So yeah, I started the blog almost 2 years ago, I guess. And I was working a different job and I was traveling all the time. And, you know, a lot of people had asked me, you know, through following my Instagram, they're like, you know, why don't we have a blog talking about all the different places you travel to and the different types of, you know, restaurants and places that you go to and the museums that you see, because you post all the stuff on Instagram, but you never really have the opportunity to kind of expand on that. And so it was kind of brought up with people that followed my Instagram that they wanted a blog. And so I thought about it and I was like, you know, there's all sorts of different free blogging, you know, templates out there, and, you know, why not just give it a shot? And so I kind of started it. It didn't really have any, you know, one particular focus. You know, I know that there's a ton of fashion bloggers out there and things like that, but I'm just too awkward to, you know, go and model pose all the time and, you know, evoke space. But, you know, I ended up doing a blog about the things that I was interested in. So there's, you know, sustainability component. There's a lifestyle component, you know, different places that Charlie and I, you know, my husband and my dog and I travel to. So we actually take Louie on pretty much all of our road trips. He can go hiking with us. We go, you know, we've been to the Everglades. We've taken him canoeing, which we found out he hates. We even had his little doggy life vest, but he would hear the white water coming in the, you know, canoe and start freaking out. So I ended up holding him the entire time and Charlie had a paddle by himself. So, you know, the blog kind of goes through all the different things that I do in my life. So a lot of times during the holidays, I'll post a lot more DIY type of things for people to be able to make fun, affordable gifts for, you know, their family and friends. I also recently started a book club So now there is a book club component of it where I actually will be posting the book club discussion points, things like that. And then obviously Louis, my Frenchie, is involved in any and everything. So mostly there's just pictures of him and, you know, all of our trips and travels and everything that he gets into with me. So
and his cute outfits, all of his cute outfits.
Oh,
you have to mention that.
I know. So many people, you know, their dogs don't love outfits, but I swear, Louis is such a little fashionista. There's never been a hoodie that he hasn't met and loved. So he has an entire little wardrobe of American Apparel hoodies and whatnot. So we did, you know, a couple different parties where he's dressed up as a pumpkin. He was a skeleton one year. Last year, he was a cowardly lion. So he gets around with his outfit.
And, you know, people ask me all the time, how do your dogs tolerate wearing clothes? You know, they just do. And I think Frenchies are especially tolerant and they're just so cute, especially when they're puppies. If you start them in, you know, little puppy outfits, they just kind of get used to it.
Yeah, he didn't mind it so much from the get-go. I mean, we started out probably when he was, you know, 12 weeks old, right about the time we got him. We would put him in like tiny little old t-shirts and things. And so he was kind of used to it. The things that took a little bit more getting used to is he has like a little snowsuit and he wears boots actually from Roughwear. And the only ones that he's liked so far that he actually wears hiking boots when we go out on the trails or if we go to the farmer's market and the asphalt's too hot. He wears a little cooling vest that keeps him cool. You just soak it in water. And then he wears his little boots to keep his paws from burning on the asphalt. And it's also really great for the dog parks too, because sometimes if it's just gravel or mulch, it can tear up their little pads. So he actually knows, you know, he doesn't love the, you know, the little booties going on. But once they're on there, he just knows that he gets to get into some fun stuff. So he doesn't mind too much after that.
So cute. And, you know, it really does protect their paws. I mean, first and foremost, that's the reason behind it. It does look cute, but the hot pavement can burn their little paws, and we don't think about that sometimes. So that's great that you put those on him. Well, it's officially fall, y'all, and you know what that means. Pumpkin spice everything. It means more time enjoying the great outdoors and also deciding what your furry kids are going to be for Halloween. So if you're thinking about hosting a party, it's definitely time to start planning that. So if you haven't already made your plan, our guest Rachel already has. She's actually planning a party, and I can guarantee you it's probably already planned. She's on top of it and always is. So we're going to go through just some tips and tricks for planning the perfect Halloween party that is dog friendly as well, because of course, a party isn't a party without dogs there, right? And wearing costumes, you get bonus points. So let's talk about just some basic dog friendly party planning tips, Rachel. I know you've planned so many. So what are some things that stick out in your mind that you'd like to share with our listeners if they're going to be planning some type of party, maybe a fall party or a Halloween party, where they're going to have dogs there?
Definitely. Yeah. So I would say first and foremost, and I wouldn't have thought about this had it not been an issue before, but the first thing that we do is get everything off the table, regardless of it's a low-lying table or if you think it's going to be fine, just remove all your picture frames, remove any candles you've got laying around, any breakables, any glass, shove them in a closet. Because if you get one puppy, you get 15 puppies, and they decide that they're going to take off running throughout the house, they're going to bump into things, and stuff's going to go flying. So you don't want any of the puppies getting hurt. You don't want any of the guests toppling over. So we've kind of, you know, prepped our house for the puppy parties by removing everything off the tables, and that's kind of the first step. Beyond that, we've, you know, everybody enjoys some good snack foods at a party, so we feel like it's not all that fair to leave the babies out. So we'll actually end up cooking a whole bunch of puppy treats and cookies and pup cakes and all sorts of different things. Every single meetup I do, we actually bring prepackaged popsicles that are puppy popsicles. And so each of the dogs gets one of those to have there at the park or even at our house when we do the parties, and they get to play outside. So it keeps their body temperatures down, especially with Frenchies. They can't really regulate their body temp, so it's always good to kind of have tons of water available. So beyond their snacks and beyond the tables, we keep water bowls throughout the whole house. So we're very open with where the dogs are allowed to go. So it's not like, you know, bedrooms are off limits. You can't get on the couch. We kind of let them run riot, but I guess not everyone is like that. So I guess if you wanted to keep them off the furniture, put some pillows up and things like that, but definitely keep the water bowls full the entire party. Make sure you have them inside. Make sure you have them outside. It just kind of encourages them to take a break, cool down a little bit. They will get exhausted after a wee bit of time. So we will throw down all Louis via several dog beds into a different room so that they can kind of take a break at their leisure. They can plow into the couch and just kind of nap for a bit, and then they'll pop back up. But a lot of times we'll actually do our pumpkin parties and it'll kind of be a meet and mingle with our friends, but they're also playing and stuff. And so we usually keep all the doors in the house open so that they can kind of let themselves in and out. That being said, I would suggest not letting them out into any areas that aren't fenced in, any areas that you think there might be ants or wasps or yellow jackets, because, you know, A, aside from getting bit or stung, which is already pretty horrible, some dogs you don't even know have allergies to those different things. So it's good to kind of be aware that that can be an issue. And also, if you're going to plan on putting new plants in, don't do your puppy party immediately thereafter, because the puppies have a tendency to sniff out and destroy new and expensive plantings, which we learned the hard way with Louie and his birthday potty. So those are just a couple of my tips for, you know, kind of keeping it fun for the babies and also kind of just keeping your house maintained as well.
Well, that's all great advice. And those are all tips that you wouldn't really think about. You know, those are things that you would unfortunately have to experience firsthand to add that to the list. But, and I didn't even think about the plants. That's true. I know when we decorate, when we get ready for company, we tend to put out new plants. We'll go to the nursery and get, you know, new potted plants and flowers and arrangements. And that's definitely something to consider when you have little pups running around, but all great tips. Now, specifically for Halloween, do you have some specific advice for, like, the date? I know that's always, like, a big thing. No matter what type of Halloween party you're having, the date is always a little bit tricky if Halloween falls in the middle of the week. So do you do it before? Do you do it after? Is there a specific time that's best? And what about the location if you're going to be inviting dogs?
So it's always really difficult with Halloween, you know. So this year it falls on a Saturday, and I made the fatal mistake last year that we had our Halloween party the same night of Halloween. So a lot of people already had plans, or else we actually had the party inside our house, and I had to sit down at the bottom of our driveway because we have a very long driveway that the kids don't like to walk up. And so I'm sitting outside handing out candy, and everybody else is inside having a blast. So we planned a little bit better this year. We're actually going to do it the Saturday before Halloween, and a lot more people are in town. A lot more people don't have plans that weekend, so it's been a little bit better in terms of what the turnout's going to be. We always send out an evite about a month in advance just to kind of get a head count, just a budget for, you know, how many people are coming, how many puppies are coming, that kind of thing, and it just gives you kind of a roundabout, you know, number of things to plan for. We always do it at our house. We have a fenced-in backyard, so we turn all the lights out there. There's cafe lights on the upper and lower deck, so the dogs can kind of let themselves in and out. They can play outside if they want. They can run through the house. And we usually try to keep the numbers relatively small. It'll probably be about 15 to 20 people. Keeping that in mind, we also do have a pretty large house. So the smaller your space, I would probably invite less people if you're going to have dogs, just because there's, you know, there's a lot going on when there's puppies and there's babies and there's adults and all sorts of different stuff. So just really think about your space, you know, when trying to kind of create your guest list. But like I said, you know, the water bowls everywhere for everybody is fine. Make sure they're out of the way of where people are going to be, because a lot of times people actually kick them and send them flying, and that's never fun to have to clean up during your party.
No.
Definitely send your evites, you know, get your guest list thought of, you know, probably about a month out. So if you start planning right about now, you should be good. Think about the puppies you're bringing and inviting. And we kind of have a strict rule: if the dog doesn't get along with other babies, probably they're not getting invited to another gathering, especially where there's little ones. We actually used to take Louie, who's a Frenchie, to regular bully meetups, and we've had 80-pound English bulldogs take me to the ground, and I'm 6 feet tall. So it's really important just to make sure that the people and the dogs you're inviting are actually friendly and get along with everybody else, and make sure that they're not going to cause injuries or knock anybody over or steal food off people's plates, which Louie's been notorious for looking into doing that. But he never actually succeeds. He's too short to clear the table. So
his little legs. Well, speaking of behavior, do you put a disclaimer in your invitations, or have you had issues in the past? Have you had to maybe uninvite someone based on their behavior at, you know, the party the year before? Or how do you handle that if you really want to invite someone, but maybe their dog isn't so well behaved or doesn't get along with others?
So far, we've had really good luck with, you know, people coming to the meetups and things like that. And for us, you know, we do meetups throughout the year, especially, you know, in the fall, the winter, and the spring when it's a little bit cooler temperatures, because they are Frenchie specific. So we meet up more other times than we do, you know, during the summer. And so we actually get a pretty good example of the dog's behavior with one another. For instance, we have this one dog that is a notorious painter of the commons. We always bring a kiddie pool. We bring, you know, communal water for all the puppies. And he immediately goes, and manatees in our communal water. So we always have to know it. So we snatch him. We try to catch him, but he is the killer of the commons. So he usually doesn't get invited to bigger parties because he cannot contain himself or his excitement. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things that the humans are always invited and the puppies are kind of trying to keep on the leash, maybe try right. and talk about the behavior, but it just depends on what you're willing to accept. But I mean, that's not a safety issue. Obviously, if it was a safety issue or one of the dogs was going to get hurt or, you know, children were coming and they're not really good with kids, there's usually a disclaimer as to, hey, there's going to be kids at this party. And most owners are open to the fact that their dog doesn't do well with kids, so they maybe won't bring their dog. I also, me being more of a pet lover than a human lover sometimes, I'll actually put on the invite, dogs will be coming, plan for your children accordingly. Or something along those lines so that people know that there are dogs, there will be dog fur if you have allergies, probably shouldn't come. And it just kind of gives people some options. So you don't want it to be awkward if somebody shows up and all of a sudden they're stuffed in a corner, sneezing their face off and trying to handle it. So most people who know me, though, they know that Louie comes first and everybody else comes secondary. So if you're coming to my house, you should probably love you some puppies.
Hey, I'm the same exact way, truly. Yeah, we always have dog-friendly gatherings and people just know that and they understand. And you know, we haven't had any issues, thankfully. That's good to hear. But, you know, it's also good to know how to handle that situation if it comes up. What about decorations, dog-friendly decorations? What do you suggest for that?
Yeah, so kind of going along the lines of, you know, keeping everything off the tables, we kind of want to keep everything out of reach of puppy mouths, because I know Louie, and he likes to get his mouth on anything and everything, especially twigs, sticks, you know, cobwebs. So what we've learned is anything off the floors is fine. So we, you know, this year we're doing a Harry Potter themed party. So we've got Dementors hanging from the trees. We've got all sorts of broomsticks and, you know, bats and owls and all sorts of things coming up down from the ceilings or kind of up on top of the furniture. But there's absolutely nothing on the floor so that he can't get into it. I'm sure he enjoys seeing the Dementors, if not terrifies him a little bit sometimes, maybe. But anything kind of out of reach of the puppies, especially the synthetic cobwebs. There's cobwebs that people like wrap around trees or, you know, will drape around their house. It's fine if you want to drape them around your lights and lamps or on top of tables and stuff, but I would definitely caution against having those within reach of your fur babies, because they will get into them and they'll start clawing at them. It'll get kind of caught around their snout and things like that, and that can be really, really dangerous. So,
oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, nothing edible. So that's kind of the major theme around our house. As long as the babies can't get into it, we'll throw it up.
Well, that's good advice. And I'm also thinking like the little spiders, if you have like little plastic spiders or little favors that you're handing out, you know, those could look like treats or actual spiders that they want to go after, and, you know, they could choke on them. So I guess it's probably a good idea just to think about, you know, like with kids, what a hazard may be. And it's most likely the same for dogs. That's great advice. Awesome. What about costumes?
Yeah, for costumes this year, Louie is going to obviously go along with the Harry Potter theme. And we've had some, you know, difficulties trying to figure out mine and my husband's costumes, and we finally settled on it. But poor Charlie, my husband, he's getting to be Dumbledore this year, whether he likes it or not.
Oh, fun. And that'll be good.
Yeah. And Louie, I figured since he's a cream kind of white French bulldog and he doesn't really have a nose, he's going to be Lord Voldemort.
Oh, that's great.
Not be named. Yeah, so we've got him a little black American Apparel hoodie, and we were going to get the Dark Mark patch and iron it on the back, but I figured that was just going to be a little bit too dark, and I wanted to kind of make it not so creepy. So I'm actually getting glitter puff paint and writing "He Who Must Not Be Named" on his hoodie. So it's almost like a gang sweatshirt.
Too cute.
Yeah, we've had some different, you know, interesting experiences with his costumes in the past. Last year, he did not want to wear his Cowardly Lion costume, and all he would wear was the mane. So we realized that general pet costumes are really difficult on Frenchies because they're so stout and they've got such broad shoulders, but they're really difficult to fit. So I figured with his little black hoodie, and, you know, he can look a little bit like a Dementor, and he's got that flat, smushed white face like Lord Voldemort, that it would be fine. But just keeping that in mind, anything that might or might not fit your dog, look at the return policies on pet costumes. T-shirts are really easy. Sweatshirts are really easy for pets. But anything that has pants sometimes is really difficult. We tried to make a Michael Myers a few years ago, and the overalls just would not work out for him. So, you know, just keeping that in mind, make sure it's something that they'll actually enjoy wearing.
Well, yeah, that's good advice. I've had some bad experiences with pants on dogs too. They never seem to work out, especially with French bulldogs. They're just too squatty.
Yeah.
They're too, yeah. They've got the big heads and the short bodies and the short little legs, and it's hard to find something that fits. So if you're crafty out there, you might want to start sewing your dog's costume if you have one that's hard to fit. Or, you know, you can just get one that's pre-made if they fit into those dimensions. So you'll be the lucky one that doesn't have to modify the costume like we're so used to doing. So what about costumes that go along with, you know, they're humans' costumes? Do you usually do that, or you try and think of like a family theme and incorporate Louie into that?
Yeah, so first year that we had Louie just turned 2 back in June. So the first year we just got him before Halloween, and I'm kind of dark. I love horror movies. So we were actually doing the theme that year of all of kind of the typical cult classic horror movies. So Louie was going to be Michael Myers. I was Freddy Krueger, and I had a like a maroon navy striped shirt from J. Crew, ironically, and then, you know, kind of a fedora, and I bought like these kind of witch claws and kind of spray painted them silver so I looked like Freddy Krueger. And Charlie was actually Jason, so he had his Jason, you know, slasher mask on. And we at that time didn't live in a place with a ton of kids, so it was more of an adult-friendly theme, really, than anything. But we actually bought a house pretty much immediately after that, and our neighborhood now has a lot of kids. So last year we decided we were going to do the Wizard of Oz. We decked out the entire house like Oz. I chalked the entire street in front of our house, and it said, "Welcome to Oz, my pretties." And so I was the Wicked Witch with full green face paint and the mole and the eyebrows and everything and the hat. Charlie was the Tin Man with, you know, including a crazy, like, heart
clock
and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, when we were trying to think about it, we needed to figure out something for Louie. And because Louie is such a little tough guy, but he's such a big softy, the Cowardly Lion worked out for him. So we realized he couldn't fit in the rest of the costume. It didn't really work out for him, but he didn't really mind wearing the mane. So he was just a very white lion with a golden mane last year. We've had other Frenchies come to the parties, and as much as we do the family theme and we theme out the house, it kind of gives me some form of direction. We don't, you know, insist on everybody doing that theme. And Louie's Frenchie friend, Margie, came over as Princess Leia, the slave girl. So she had slave girl pants on and her little buns on her little Frenchie ears, and I cracked up laughing. So she was a pretty good sport about it.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know how they kept that on her, but that's cute.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cute. What about activities? Do you plan dog-friendly activities?
Yeah, so it depends on the time of year. A lot of times throughout the spring and summer, you know, it's mostly pool parties, and we'll get, you know, one of those kiddie pools from Target. And, you know, depending on where we're doing it, if we're going to the dog park, a lot of times they don't have a hose or something to fill it up with. So Charlie and I are dedicated dog parents, and we have those huge Home Depot buckets with lids, and we'll fill them up at the house before we go. We'll put them in the back seat, and they're all full of water, so we can just dump them at the pool when we get to the dog park. At the house, obviously, we'll just do, you know, on the back deck, we'll put the pool out, and we'll, you know, fill it up, and we'll put out all sorts of little, like, plastic, you know, kind of, like, rubbery pool toys for the dogs to play with. And most of the time, they really just want to play in the water. They want to play catch. And I would have never in a million years thought that Frenchies loved playing in the pool as much as they do, but sometimes they like to just kind of float, which cracks me up. But it really just depends. A lot of times they kind of want to just play amongst themselves. So we've tried to do, you know, some different activities where we'll, you know, do like hide and seek kind of things. We'll release the hounds, if you will. And they love to go and kind of play hide and go seek throughout the house or find different treats. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, you can plan as much as you're going to plan, but sometimes they just kind of want to play amongst themselves and look at you like, "Mom, what are you doing?"
That's true. That's true. They're going to do their own thing, probably. All right. Definitely. Well, we are going to take a quick break and be right back with some spooky Halloween treats.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, 4 to be exact.
Do you know that moment when your dirty dog's about to jump in your nice clean car? You can avoid all the cleanup and mess with a 4K9 seat cover. 4K9s makes heavy-duty seat covers and cargo liners that will blend seamlessly with the interior of your vehicle. You can find us at 4K9s.com, that's the number 4, K-N-I-N-E-S.com, or on Amazon.com. 4K9s makes nothing but the best for your best friend.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com, hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Doggy Dish on Pet Life Radio. Before the break, my guest and I shared tips for planning the perfect dog-friendly Halloween party, complete with a costume contest. Now let's talk food. All right, you can't have a party without delicious dog-friendly treats, right? So it's a good thing that dogs love pumpkin so much, and it happens to be very good for their health, because right now you can pretty much find pumpkin everything everywhere you look. Now, pumpkin is a great source of fiber, not only for people, but also for pups. So if your dog has some tummy issues, adding a scoop of pumpkin to his dry food could actually calm his belly and firm up any loose stools. But some dogs don't really enjoy plain pumpkin, so for the finicky pups out there, you can include it in your yummy baked treats, and we have lots of different options for you. So first of all, I'm going to turn it over to Rachel to share some of her recipes. So these are all like fall and Halloween inspired recipes. So pay attention, folks, because these are going to be good ones. So Rachel, take it away.
Yeah, no problem. So Chrissy is kind of the queen of pumpkin. I mixed it up between apple and pumpkin. So to start off, one of the first things that I really like to do for Louie, even though he eats, you know, the raw pumpkin, he absolutely loves it. We'll mix it in with his food just to kind of give him an extra dosage of fiber. But one of my favorite things to make for him is the pumpkin wafer. So you end up taking a 50-ounce can of pure mashed pumpkin, but not the pie filling because it has all sorts of sugars and additives. But you can just get raw mashed pumpkin at the grocery store. You do 3/4 cup of dry cream of wheat or dry cereal if they don't have any gluten or wheat sensitivities, and 1/2 cup of dry powdered milk. So while you're mixing all your stuff together, go ahead and preheat your oven to about 300. You mix all the ingredients together, and then you do spoonfuls of it, almost like you would do cookie dough, on a lightly greased baking sheet, and you bake for about 15 to 20 minutes. And I usually like to make sure that they've cooled for a couple hours by the time I actually serve them to the dogs, just to make sure that they're not too warm or they're actually going to like them. But yeah, those are really a good kind of little snack for them. We kind of give them to Louie as treats more so than anything else. But those are just my pumpkin wafers that I do for him.
Oh, those sound delicious. Sound like I want to eat them too.
I know. And the cool thing about some of these recipes is they are totally edible. If your dog's going to eat them, you should be able to eat them. So I wouldn't feed Louie anything that I wouldn't eat myself. So one of the other things is the apple cinnamon delight that I'll do for them. And so you just get 1 large apple, 1/4 cup of honey, 1/2 cup of water, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 cup of oatmeal, 1 1/2 cups of whole wheat flour, and another 1/8 cup of whole wheat flour. So you'll preheat your oven to 350 like before, and then you'll slice and then mince your apple so it's nice and fine. In a large bowl, you'll combine the apple, the water, the honey, the cinnamon, and the oatmeal. You'll blend it all together with the wheat flour, adding enough to form kind of enough of a stiff dough, almost like a cookie dough or a pastry dough would be. And then in a small bowl, you'll take the 1/8 cup of wheat flour, the extra, spoon the dough by a rounded teaspoon onto another ungreased baking sheet, about 2 inches apart, just like you would do with cookies. And using the bottom of like a glass or a wet spoon, you would just make sure it's nice and clean and then dip it in the wheat flour to prevent it from sticking and flatten each spoonful of dough into a circle. You'll bake them for about 30 minutes and then flip each cookie to brown them both evenly on each side and then reduce your temperature of your oven to about 325. So you'll return them to the oven after you flip them after that initial 30 minutes, flip them and then do it for another 30 minutes. And I'll let those usually cool overnight as well.
Ooh, that sounds like a good one, too.
I know. And make sure, just kind of as a, you know, forewarning, a lot of people say that, you know, the apple seeds can be dangerous for dogs and stuff. So what I'll usually do is I'll cut very far away from the core of the apple. And that's just something to kind of keep in mind.
That's a great idea, because I always get, you know, apple seeds flying into the sink and flying on the counter. And I usually have little pups at my feet when I'm cooking. So if I know I'm cooking with or baking with something that they can't have, I'll always put them away. So it's a good idea. Make sure you don't let seeds fly everywhere.
Yeah. And so my third and final recipe is their whole wheat cream cheese danishes with applesauce, which I know sounds absolutely delicious, like it would be a human breakfast food, but Lily seems to love them. And so you'll get 1/4 pound of low-fat cream cheese, 1/2 cup of all-natural applesauce, the stuff with no sugar in it. If you can't find it, typically the grocery store, you can find it at Whole Foods or, you know, somewhere where they actually are, you know, kind of more of a health food store. You'll find the stuff with no sugar. You'll do 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 2 teaspoons of real vanilla extract, and 2 cups of whole wheat flour. And like before, you preheat your oven to 350. You mix all the ingredients together. You'll knead the dough on a floured surface. So whether it's on your countertop or on a cutting board, just make sure it's nicely floured so that you can actually, you know, not have it stick. And then you'll roll the dough out until it's about 1/2 inch thick. And then you can use a cookie cutter of your choice. So it could be in the shape of a Frenchie, which we have, or if it's during the holidays, you could do, you know, a heart for Valentine's Day, or you could do a Christmas tree or a snowflake for Christmas. But you'll just cut out all the different little shapes that you want to do. And then you bake them for about 20 minutes. And then after that 20 minutes is up, just turn off your oven and let them sit in there for about 2 hours to harden, and you're good to go. So you can make all of these beforehand and, you know, serve them with a little bit of cream cheese on top, and you're set. The puppies love them.
Oh, you had me at cream cheese. I love cream cheese. Sounds so good. All right. Thanks so much, Rachel. I'm going to go ahead and share the ones that I have for you all that are my favorites. And again, they're sticking with the pumpkin theme, of course. So this first one is for pumpkin cookies. And you'll need your cookie sheet. You should already have it out or doing all your baking. You'll need a rolling pin. You can use your stand mixer or you can just hand mix it. It's up to you. And then if you could get a small pumpkin cookie cutter, that's ideal, but obviously you could use whatever you want. It could be maybe a little bat or anything, you know, Halloween themed. But the smaller is usually better, especially for smaller dogs. Maybe if you have a larger dog, you could do a large cutter. You'll need 2 cups of whole wheat flour or a grain-free flour of your choice, and then 1 cup of the pumpkin puree, that's pure pumpkin without the sugar, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, and then you'll need 1 egg. What you'll do is combine your pumpkin, the cinnamon, and the egg in the bowl or in your stand mixer, and you go ahead and mix it until it's blended, and then add the flour 1/2 cup at a time into the bowl. Okay, so you want to make sure you're adding it gradually until the dough is stiff enough and you can form it. And then you'll roll that dough out into a lightly floured surface, make sure it's not sticking, and you want it to be about 1/2 inch thick. Then you'll go ahead and cut your dough with your cookie cutter. Place the cookies on your cookie sheet, and you don't need to worry about, you know, placing them too closely together because they won't expand when they bake. And you'll go ahead and bake those for about 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes or so, until they're the desired crispness. You know, some dogs like softer treats, especially puppies and old dogs with bad teeth, and some like a crispy cookie. So just be sure to cool it before serving, of course. And these treats can be stored in a container inside the fridge for up to 2 weeks. Just make sure you're keeping them fresh because there's no preservatives in them. So that's the first one, pumpkin cookies, just very basic, pretty easy. Now the next one, I love this. It's super easy. It's pumpkin pops. Okay, so, you know, the weather's cooling down, but of course, if your pups are out and about and they're running around, they may get a little hot. So this is a nice refreshing treat. So it's probably the easiest treat you'll ever make, I promise. All you need is a can of your pumpkin and an ice cube tray. And I know you've used an ice cube tray before because I've shared some frozen treat recipes. So you just get that basic ice cube tray, and then you spoon the pumpkin into each cube of the tray and then freeze it. Once they're frozen, you can pop them out and serve. And they're like little popsicles. And you can store them inside a freezer bag. They're easy, they're healthy, and it's perfect for the fall. So that's pumpkin pops. We've got cookies and we've got pops. And the last one is pumpkin leather. Okay, this is a really cool one. Now, you're going to turn your oven on the lowest setting possible. It depends on what kind of oven you have. And if you have a food dehydrator or a jerky maker, that's even better. You'll have your pumpkin puree, and you're going to spread the mixture out real thinly onto a nonstick baking tray. You're going to leave it in the oven on your low setting for 6 to 8 hours. Or if you're using your dehydrator, it's not going to take that long. Might take maybe 1/2 that time. And you're going to leave them in there until they're no longer sticky when you touch them. So you can kind of do a touch test. When they're cool, you can roll the leather and then cut them into treats. So it's just another fun fall treat. It's super easy to make, and it's perfect for those dogs who like something a little chewy and maybe don't really care for a traditional crispy cookie. So that's it. Those are your pumpkin and your apple and your yummy Danish recipes that sound so good that you could eat them. So now that you're all set with your party planning tips and delicious recipes to make for your party, go out and plan away. And be sure to take some pictures of your fun events and tag us on social media. We'd love to see it. Now, Rachel, can you tell us a little bit about how we can find you and follow you on social media before we go?
Yeah, not a problem. So my blog is obviously www.lifedevoured.com. And at the very top of the page, you can actually click on any of the different links. So you can follow me on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter. I'm kind of a negligent Twitterer, but you can definitely always find me on Instagram. It's probably the best place. I post pictures of, you know, our trips and travels. You know, we went to Peru, so there's all sorts of fun stuff on there. We'll post pictures of, you know, us traveling around with Louie. We were recently in a dragon boat race, so that's on there. But the website is really the full kind of everything. You can see all of, you know, the different blog posts, the book reviews, the book clubs. We actually have a running kind of fundraiser on the right-hand side of the blog. You can, I think you can only see it when you're actually looking at it on a computer screen. But one of our Frenchie friends, his name is Boris the French Bull. I think it's Boris the Feeding Tube Frenchie, I think. Let me just double-check real quick. But yeah, so Boris is actually a Feeding Tube Frenchie. So he had a medical issue, so he has a port in his side. So his medical bills are really expensive every month. And so we've actually added an ad on the website where you can actually donate to part of kind of this medical group of all sorts of different dogs that need assistance, financial assistance for their medical needs. And so he has a permanent running ad on our on the blog.
Oh, that is so nice. I love that. Yeah. That's so nice to help out.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to follow him, it's Boris the Feeding Tube Frenchie on Instagram.
Aww.
So, yeah, so if you want to go to the blog, it's www.lifedevoured.com. At the very top of the page, you can follow us on Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and then you can also connect with some of the other people that I follow, different blogs I follow. They're all mentioned throughout the blog, so that's probably the best way. And on Instagram, if you want to just go directly, it's at lifedevouredblog.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel. This has been amazing. And everyone has to go follow her because she's going to post pictures from the Halloween party. So everyone has to see all of her hard work. All right. Well, we are out of time, and we would like to thank our special guest, Rachel, for helping with today's show. And I would like to thank our producers for making this show possible. I always love to hear from my listeners, so please send your comments and questions to Christy@PetLifeRadio.com. That's Christy with an I at the end. You can also find The Doggy Dish on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to like us and follow us to keep up with the latest and greatest in healthy cooking for your furry kids. Thanks for listening to The Doggy Dish. Bye-bye for now.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.